Thank the Lord for that. Tonight, I want to share a thought with you that I've entitled, The Lord Helps His Troubled People. The Lord Helps His Troubled People. Psalm 3, if you would turn there with me. Psalm 3, if you have a Bible, you can turn there with me, whether in your device or physical Bible like I have tonight. You can turn there with me, and I want to begin reading. It's 8 verses, so we'll read those 8 verses together tonight, just 8 verses. Psalm 3, beginning with verse 1, it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there is no help for him in God. He says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. Hallelujah. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Another translation says, because he was with me, because he was my safety. He kept me safe, in other words. Hallelujah. He goes on to say, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, which is still a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Tonight, we open up our hearts and we ask that it would fall on good soil and produce fruit 100-fold. Give us ears to hear what you want to say to us tonight, not just for this evening, but for the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to give you some context tonight. David writes this psalm as he is fleeing for his life. He is on the run. He is fleeing for his life from his son Absalom. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 13 through 16, the Bible tells us that David flees from Jerusalem because Absalom is coming with an army in rebellion against him to seize power and take the throne. His own son. His own son is coming against him to seize power and to take the throne with an army. And we get a picture of how many people are coming against him because David himself says in this psalm, 10,000s of people all around me. His son Absalom is not coming by himself. He's not coming with a handful. He's coming with an army of people that have chosen to join his ranks, conspirators, traitors, people who have chosen to join his ranks to dethrone his father David. In the same chapter in verse 31, 2 Samuel 15, 31, you don't need to turn there. David is betrayed by one of his closest friends, one of his advisors, Ahithophel, a man who had stood with him and counseled him and had helped him from time to time again as he rose to the throne and was trying to lead and do what God had called him to do as a leader, as a king. His trusted advisor, Ahithophel, joins himself to Absalom in this conspiracy. So he feels betrayed here. In the next chapter, in 2 Samuel 16, verse 5, David is cursed by a man named Shimei, who tells him, you're getting what you deserve. Have you ever heard that voice? You're just getting what you deserve. The enemy will say that to you at times even. He curses David. He throws stones at him. And some of you have felt that when people have thrown stones at you. You know that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't hurt me? That's a lie. Words do hurt. Words do hurt. As a matter of fact, time and time again throughout the Psalms, David, you hear him talking about the floods of ungodly men, the voices that were risen against him, that had come against him as a flood to try to overwhelm him. And sometimes that can happen. We can begin to hear voices from outside, from without, but also voices from within. The scripture tells us that even our hearts can condemn us at times, right? Even our own hearts can begin to condemn us, and those thoughts can begin to come flooding in, threatening to overwhelm us. And so David is feeling that here in this moment. And then also in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24, the Bible tells him Absalom and all Israel were pursuing David and his company, seeking to overwhelm him and to devour him. For David, this would have been truly a dark and difficult time. He would have been battling fear, depression, possibly loneliness, feeling isolated suddenly, and a deep sense of loss and betrayal. There are many today, including Christians, who are struggling with depression, fear, grief because of loss, loss of employment, loss of their jobs, loss of even students who have lost years. I think of some students who lost opportunities to even get scholarships during the pandemic because everything was shut down. Struggling with loneliness. The pandemic has been an incubator for all kinds of mental health issues. Anyone who's in the field will tell you that there is a mental health crisis across the globe like nothing they've ever seen before. Between the quarantines, violent crime in our streets, even brazen during the day, robberies, loss of employment, loss of loved ones, the loneliness, the isolation, etc., many have found themselves struggling to cope and to get through the day. Maybe you find yourself struggling even now because of something you are facing. Like many of us, the psalmist David could relate in his own way. And that's why we love the Psalms, because they are filled with real life scenarios and emotions. Psalm 3 again, let's look at it together. One of my favorite Psalms because of its content and structure. This Psalm has four parts or sections to it that I just want to point out briefly. Section 1, verse 1 and 2, David shares his troubles and emotions with God. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are those who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Have you ever heard that voice? There's no help for you in God. Why trust him? That's section 1, where he declares his troubles and emotions to God. Section 2, verses 3 through 6, David affirms his confidence in God. He goes on to say in verse 3 through 6, he says, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Here he's saying, in the past, I've cried to God, and God has been faithful, and he has heard my voice from his holy mountain, from his holy hill. Hallelujah. He says, I laid down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. How many at times are unable to sleep, have gone through sleepless nights. Some of you are experiencing that even right now. Sleepless nights because of what you're facing and going through. But yet the psalmist here says, I lay down and slept and awoke, for the Lord sustained me. He says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. So David here affirms his confidence in the Lord. So in section 1, verse 1 and 2, he begins to declare his troubles, his emotions to God. He pours out his heart. In verse 3 through 6, he affirms his confidence in God. He begins to declare who God is. Folks, it's important for you and I not just to pray the problem, but we have to learn to pray the solution. Are you with me tonight? We need to learn to begin to pray the solution, to begin to declare who God is as part of our prayers. Sometimes we can just focus on the problem and pour out our hearts before the Lord, and suddenly the problems get bigger and bigger and bigger. And we fail to see who God is in the midst of our situation. The psalmist David doesn't end there. In section 3 or part 3, verse 7, that's when David begins to ask God for his help. He says, "Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God." He says, "O God, strike all my enemies on the cheekbone." In other words, slap them in the face. He says, "Break their teeth. Break the teeth of the enemy, of the devil who has come against me with all these lies." In verse 1 and 2. "Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say there is no help for him in God." God, as these voices are flooding my soul and my mind, I'm asking you to silence the voice of the enemy. Hallelujah. He says, "God, arise, help me." So he starts out, and I love this because this, it, for me, it, I see it so clearly as just a pattern for prayer, even. You pour out your heart, you tell God what's happening. Then you begin to worship him and declare who he is. Philippians puts it this way. It says, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything and thank God for what he's already done." And suddenly what will happen? The peace of God. The peace of God that passes all understanding will begin to guard your heart, will begin to garrison your heart, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Suddenly there will be a flood of peace. And you see that pattern here. But then lastly in verse 8, he says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is on your people." He begins to praise God. He begins to praise God. Hallelujah. I love what one commentator says. He says this: David told God what he felt about the odds against him. But within three verses, the king realized that God's presence and care made the odds meaningless. Hallelujah. Meaningless, folks. Meaningless. I want to explore. Let's explore one verse for a moment in this psalm. Verse 3. Probably the most famous verse in this whole psalm. "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts my head." The message says, "But you, O God, shield me on all sides. You ground my feet and you lift my head high." David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was saying three things here. Number one, the Lord protects me. Number two, the Lord is with me. And number three, the Lord gives me hope. The Lord protects me, he's with me, and he gives me hope. Let's start with number one. The Lord protects me. The word "shield" found here in verse 3 means protector. It means my defense. The Lord is my defense. See, David had experienced God's defense time and time again. For example, the Lord protected him when he was guarding the sheep and the lion and a bear came against him. Hallelujah. Guarding his father's sheep, doing his thing, holding to his responsibility, manning his post, and suddenly a lion and a bear come to steal a sheep, to rob him. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was on him and he was able to slay them and rescue those sheep from those lions and bears. And that speaks to me of those private moments when no one is around and you and I find ourselves struggling and something threatens to devour us. In those private moments, and God comes through and he delivers us by the power of his Holy Spirit. Are you with me tonight? By the power of his Holy Spirit, he enables us to stand. The Lord protected him against Goliath, the giant. You know the story. When Goliath was threatening the armies of Israel and everybody was cowering in fear, including the king, the present king at the time, and David is just a young shepherd. He walks into the camp bringing provisions for his brothers. You know the story, and the Spirit of God comes on him. And he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this devil, this giant, threatening the armies of the living God?" He says, "The same God who delivered the bear and the lion is going to deliver this giant into my hands for his glory and for his fame." Hallelujah. And God gave him a great victory that day over his enemy. And then once again, the Lord protected him against King Saul, his predecessor, who was trying to pin him to the wall time and time again with spears, tried to pin him to the wall. and even pursued him for years because of his jealousy over David's life, folks. But yet God protected him. The Lord was a shield to him, and the Lord will be a shield to you. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I think of not too long ago, I don't know if I've told this story, but Black Friday, this past Black Friday, my wife and I, the night before Thanksgiving, we had gone to visit family in Long Island. And so Black Friday, we were supposed to fly out from Newark for vacation. And so we came to the city Thursday night, Thanksgiving evening, stayed here. We have a small little room here, and so we stayed in our room, and the next morning we got up early because we had to fly out of Newark, and we figured, oh, it's Black Friday, there'll probably be a lot of traffic, maybe because of shoppers and different things, so we need to leave early. So we got up early, got in our car, went through the tunnel. As we're coming out the tunnel on the Helix, I don't know if you've ever been out the Lincoln Tunnel, but the highway wraps around like this, and then it goes up to the turnpike or Route 3. And as we're wrapping around the highway coming, my right wheel comes off. My right front axle comes out right in the middle of the highway on the second to the inside lane, okay? So here we are, suddenly screeching halt on the highway, and we're on a curve, okay? When you're on a curve, if you're on the outside lane, people can see you in the curve, but when you're on the inside lane, people don't see you. So here we are in the middle of the highway, and so I have to get out the car. We put our hazards on, and so my wife is in the car trying to call the cops and the police, and I'm in the back like this, stopping traffic. So now you got to imagine, I'm in the middle of the highway, and I'm stopping buses, SUVs. I mean, everything is, and some of them are getting close. They're screeching their brakes because people are on their phones. People are doing all kinds of stuff while they're driving. And plus the fact that we were on the curve. So it's hard to see what's coming around the bend until the last minute. And so I'm there like, oh, Jesus, you know. And my wife is like looking in the rearview mirror like, oh, Jesus, calling the police. Well, it took the cops 15 minutes to come with a tow truck to get us out of there. But I got to tell you, standing there, I was thinking, Lord God Almighty, help. You know, and while we're there, you get all kinds of reactions. It's like it reminded me of the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, you get all kinds of people, you know, giving you advice. Or people just driving by. We had people who would stop, roll down their windows and say, can I help? You know, can I make a phone call for you? We had other people who were driving by and offering advice saying, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to put out a cone behind your car. And I'm like, that's nice. If I had one, maybe I'd do that. You want to lend me one? We had other people that were mad because we were blocking traffic and shaking their fists at us, you know? I mean, we had it all. And we even had this little old man who was like an angel of God. He pulled in front of us. He stopped his car. He got out. He ran down the highway in front of us, well, behind us, and put down one little cone right in the way. And I was praying for him. I was like, Lord, don't let this little old man get run over on our behalf. And he puts down this one little cone, and then he gets in his car, and I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you so much. But eventually the cone got run over because it was just one of those little cones that looked like something kids put out, you know, for their games. But it was a thought that counted. But God protected us. I said, but God protected us like he will protect you tonight when you're going home after service. On the subway, on the bus, in your car. He's not a respecter of persons. You are his child. He loves you. Hallelujah. And he watches his own. So the Lord protects me. He's a shield. The psalmist goes on to say, he's my glory. In other words, the Lord is with me. The word glory here means weight. It's the kabod. It speaks of the presence of God, the weightiness of God. When God is so in the house, so in the midst that you sense his presence, it feels so thick in the atmosphere that you can't shake it. You feel it. You know what I'm talking about. When you feel the presence of God, the psalmist is saying here, he's my glory. So when David says he's my glory, he's saying the Lord's presence is with me. His incredible presence is so tangible in my life. God is great. God is present here with me. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says it this way. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, of those voices, if you will. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul quotes this verse in Hebrews 13. He says he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. That's where it's from, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and verse 8. He quotes that in the New Testament. The word glory here also speaks of, it also means to be honorable or honored. It means to be rich. It speaks of dignity, reputation, wonder. What was the psalmist also saying here? He was saying, the Lord is my glory, which means he is the one who makes me honorable, who makes my life rich, who restores my dignity, who makes my life a wonder to those around me. Many of us know what that's like to have the Lord produce a richness in our life. If you've been walking with him for any amount of time, you know what that's like. Others know what it's like to have the Lord restore their honor, their dignity. Can I get a witness in here tonight? Maybe you were a drunkard, an alcoholic. Maybe you were a drug addict, a womanizer, a prostitute, a thief, a manipulator, selfish. Maybe you were a cutter, self-mutilator. But God turned it around. I said, but God turned it around. Hallelujah. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. In other words, you were set apart. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord protects me. The Lord is with me, and the Lord gives me hope. The Lord gives me hope. The phrase, the lifter of my head, as it says in the King James or in the New King James, the one who lifts up my head, meant to rise up, to be uplifted, to be uplifted. The Lord was David's hope. In Psalm 71, verse 1 through 5, the Lord was David's hope. It says in verse 1, O Lord, you have come, I have come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save and rescue me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to listen to me and set me free. He says, be my rock of safety, where I can always hide. Give order to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. My God, rescue me from the power of the wicked, from the clutches of cruel oppressors. O Lord, you alone are my what? You are my hope. I've trusted you, O Lord, from my childhood. So it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, you can trust him tonight. You can trust him tonight. The Lord was David's hope. The word of God caused David to hope. Psalm 119, verse 49 says this, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Remember the word, the promise, that which you spoke to my heart that has caused me to hope. So the word of God caused David to hope. And also David's flesh was able to rest in hope. Psalm 16, verse 8 and 9 says it this way. It says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. God, I'm not going to strive anymore. I'm going to get off the hamster wheel. I'm not going to try and figure this thing out. You know what that's like, where you're playing every scenario in your mind. Okay, if I do this, if I do, you know, you're just, and you're just going and going and going. But yet, God is able to cause you and I to rest. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 says, there remains a rest for the people of God. And we enter into that rest when we cease from our own works. Just like God did when he rested during creation. When we stop trying to work things out. Hallelujah. God is able to come and cause you to hope again. And to trust again and to rejoice again and to lift your head again. I think of recently, I was having one of those moments. I don't know if you've ever had any of those moments. I woke up, I looked in the mirror, and I thought to myself, oh, God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You look in the mirror, and it's not just the wrinkles and the lack of hair thereof or the extra weight. It was just I was feeling down because I was feeling inadequate. I was feeling like I was looking back at some things that God was speaking to me and dealing with me about and had convicted me about. And I was feeling like, Lord, this again? I should be so much further along than this. What am I doing dealing with this again? You know, and I just felt discouraged. I felt discouraged. And so I got up, got dressed, got in my car. And went to the car wash to get my car washed. And I get out of the car as they're getting ready to vacuum. And one of the young men that was getting ready to clean the car, he goes, you're a pastor. And I'm looking at him like, who knows me around here? He says, you're a pastor, aren't you? You're a pastor. You're a Christian. And I'm looking at this guy. Have I seen this guy before? And I said, do I know you? I said, how do you know? He said, there's an aura around you. There's an aura around you. The Lord is with me. The Lord causes me to hope. He's the lifter of my head. I've got to tell you, that just lifted my spirit. I felt so much better. That lifted my head. It brought hope to my soul. It made me realize there's hope for this old soldier. It reminded me that he's my righteousness. He's my holiness. He is my justification. He is the one that enables you and I to stand before God, justified right in his sight and accepted in the beloved, and that he's proud of us and that he's with us. He's with us even when we feel weak, when we feel terrible about ourselves. God is there with us, ready to help us. He's a very present help, Psalm 46, in our time of need. Amen. David is eventually restored to his throne in 2 Samuel 18, verse 6 through 7. The men of Israel were defeated by the servants of David. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, David arrives home safely. So even in the midst of this situation, David chose to praise God. And he says, salvation belongs to the Lord, verse 8 in Psalm 3. He says, salvation belongs to the Lord, and his blessing is on his people. This word salvation means deliverance, prosperity, and victory. It all belongs to God. Victory belongs to God. Salvation belongs to him. Deliverance, prosperity belongs to him. In another place, the psalmist says, some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my rock, the one in whom I will trust. Who are you trusting in tonight? The Bible tells us that in the last days, men's hearts would begin to fail them for fear, will begin to be crippled with fear and overwhelmed with fear as they're seeing the things coming on the earth. Are you afraid tonight? Fear is natural, but we don't have to stay there. Put your hope in God. He will see you through whatever you're facing in today and in the days ahead. Tonight, maybe you're here and you've experienced the presence of God, you've experienced the worship and the prayer, and maybe someone invited you, and in your heart you've wondered, is there a God? Is there something really to this? And you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But you can start one tonight. You can start one today. Jesus called it being born again. What does that mean, Pastor? It means to be born from above. Hallelujah. It speaks of a spiritual birth. You see, at some point, you and I experienced a physical birth, a natural birth. Jesus was saying that we must experience a supernatural, a spiritual birth as well. How does that happen? Well, it's as simple as A, B, C. A, B, C. A stands for admit. B stands for believe. C stands for confess. A stands for admit. Admit what? Admit that you have sinned, that you've done wrong. Admit that you've not always done things God's way. Admit that you have lived life doing what seemed right to you, but not necessarily to God. B stands for believe. Believe that God was willing to sacrifice His Son, Jesus Christ, out of love for you. Believe that He did this so that the penalty of your sins and mine could be paid for, satisfied, so that we could be forgiven. And lastly, C. C stands for confess. Confess Jesus as your Lord. Lord means that He's now in charge of your life. You're giving Him the steering wheel of your life, that He is now the boss. You've done things your way and it's not worked. And there's a void on the inside, but Christ is the only one who can fill that void. And if you want Him to tonight, it begins by being born again, spiritually reborn, and asking God to be the Lord of your life. We're going to take a moment to pray a born-again prayer. And so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me this evening, all over this house. I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. If you would like to be born again and begin your journey with God, in a moment, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or to stand. But if you say, Pastor, I want to be included in that born again prayer. I'm tired of doing things my way. I need God. I want God. I want to know this God. I want to know Jesus. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that things are right between me and God. I want a relationship with God. Folks, I'm not talking about religion. Religion is dead. It's dry. It's boring. There's no life there. There's no power to change there. I'm talking about a living relationship with the living God, found through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you say, Pastor, I want to be included in that born-again prayer, would you raise your hand tonight all over this house unashamedly? 1, 2, 3, 4, unashamedly all over this house. Would you raise your hand if you say, Pastor, I want to be included in that born again prayer. Five, praise the living God. Anyone else? Your heart might be beating 100 miles an hour tonight, but this is your moment. This is your hour to be changed, to be never the same again. You will be supernaturally changed tonight by the power of God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, those of you who raised your hand. For those of you who've raised your hand, for those who raised their hand among us, I want you to pray with me nice and loud, and I want us all to pray. We're all going to pray together. Would you pray with me from your heart, nice and loud? Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my guilt, and my shame, and you died for it. I believe that you defeated sin and death, and that I have the victory because of you. I believe you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Now I declare with confidence that God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, the Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Folks, if you pray that prayer tonight, you need to know there's a party going on in heaven right now for you. For you. The angels of God are celebrating with God Most High because you, his creation, who was once lost, have now come home. Tonight, if you decided to begin your journey with God, if you prayed that prayer, if you were one of those who raised your hand, we would like you to take a moment to text the word decided. That's what you did tonight. You decided to walk with Jesus. Would you text the word decided to 51,000, to 51,000, 51,000? We want to help you in your next steps as you begin this walk with the Lord. You don't have to go at this alone. God wants you to have all the support you need to encourage you and also to use you to encourage others.